Hey guys, welcome back to the next episode of Percussion Perspective. You've got me, I'm Kevin.
And I'm still Remy.
We're laughing because this is the third time we've tried to do this intro, and I honestly am the one that keeps screwing it up. But I think we nailed it that time.
Yeah, so that was great.
You're still Remy, and
super smooth.
Welcome back to the next episode, guys. This is going to be the part two of the last episode that we did, which is choosing high school solos. So if you have not listened to that one yet, you should jump back on and listen to that one first and then come back to this one, because it's going to go right from that. So in the last episode, we just chatted about choosing solos for your high school kids. And we basically broke down a bunch of snare options. In the first episode, we jumped a little bit into some two mallet stuff. And this one's going to start going right into maybe a couple more two mallet things, but getting into the four mallet and timpani stuff. And we did want to take a second to tell everyone Merry Christmas, because this episode will come out on December 27th, if you're listening to it on that day, and that's 2 days after Christmas. And we just hope that everybody has or had a good holiday season, was able to spend time with friends and family. And if you're an educator, enjoy a little bit of a break post all of the concerts that you had.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, guys. Happy holidays. Hope you are having a good time, like Kevin said, with friends and family, and just enjoying a break. We're actually recording this about 10 days before Christmas. We're trying to get ahead of things. That way we can have a break too. Things have been good though. We're both going into our last week of school, right before Christmas break. So we got, you know, a few days to kind of wrap some things up, and you have a concert still, right?
Yeah, we've got a concert and a basketball game between now and our break starting.
Gotcha. We had our big, all city Christmas extravaganza thing on Friday night. And so we're pretty much done. We've got like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday regular classes, and we'll just like clean up the percussion area and all, you know, all of that stuff. Probably do some rehearsal for Italy, and then Thursday, Friday are finals for everybody. So
yeah. Did we talk about your trip to Italy on here? I think we did for a second.
Yeah. I mentioned it. Yeah. We were chosen to go to the, it's like the World Day of Peace parade in Vatican City. So we're going to Italy like the day after Christmas. We're leaving like really, really late on the night of the 26th. We'll be gone for about a week. So I'm excited for that, but I'm also bummed to, you know, miss like half my Christmas break.
Yeah.
Like doing band stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a half and half there, but it should be fun. So we've got a lot of things to, I mean, if you're a music educator and listening to this, which is probably 99% of you, you know how much of a sprint it is from the end of marching season to Christmas break. Like we were talking about that yesterday. And so when Christmas break gets there, you're like, you really need it. And I'm only going to get like 4 days this year. And then Christmas happens, and then we leave for Italy. And then when we come back, I think I have like 2 or 3 days, and then the semester starts again. So trying to make the most of those few days there anyway. But yeah, hope you guys all had a good one, and, have a happy new year as well.
Oh yeah. We won't be on until the new year too.
Yeah. We've got some cool things, in the works and planned a little bit. So hopefully those things will come to, bear fruit in the new year in 2025. The year of percussion perspective is what experts are calling it.
I heard that.
Yeah, I read that.
I think
Forbes,
ABC.
ABC News
said something.
Forbes. And Joe Rogan talked about it too. We should interview him.
Can you imagine?
That'd be hilarious. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Well, let's talk about solos.
Yeah. Did you have any more two mallet
I did.
Things to okay.
Yeah, so we ended the last episode with some two mallet stuff. So I did kind of find one more that I had a kid play out of last year that he had success with. So the man, I'm gonna botch his name. Nabasha Jovan Zivkovich.
I think it's Nabosa Zivkovich.
Yeah, I just call him NJZ. Honestly, too. But yeah, he has his book, The Funny Xylophone Book One, and it's got some two mallet, kind of just fun, interesting solos in it. I had a kid play, I believe it's called number 7. Yeah, and it's just called No Ragtime, but it's kind of a fun little piece. It's got some 5/8 and 7/8 stuff kind of mixed in there to give it a little bit of a cool groove. But as we're going to probably talk in this episode a lot, like four mallet literature is kind of where percussion has kind of ended up when it comes to the real solo material. Two mallet is still completely valid, but just the things that people have come up with on four mallets just kind of make it more interesting and more melodic. And obviously you can play chords and stuff like that, but there's still plenty of good two mallet things out there. So that was just a recommendation that I had was NJZ's book, Funny Xylophone Book One, and the solo No Ragtime. And there's a couple others in there that are good to look at.
Yeah. You're talking about Nabosa Jovan Zivkovich. I know how to say this, his last name.
You did it better than I did.
Thank you. He's got several things. He's got several solos. He has Uneven Souls is like a really cool piece that we both have played. It's like for marimba solo and percussion ensemble backing. But that's a pretty advanced piece. But anyway, he's got one called Funny Mallets also. Yours was Funny Xylophone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's like maybe two or three of those. And it's just like easy pieces for marimba solo is what it says. And it's got, 10 pieces. And they're pretty, they kind of get progressively more difficult. I'm looking at them here. But it's just a lot of like the first handful are a lot of like block chords. So, you know, the hands are just doing everything kind of the same. And maybe your intervals are changing a little bit, but it's like the rhythm is just unison between your hands for the most part. Then the next few kind of start breaking things up and you get a little bit of mallet independence. And then by the end, this is the book that has that exercise that we played in college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gosh, what is it called? It's probably...
Spurska Ingra.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's like literally has two vowels in the entire.
That's what I always just called it in my head was Spurska Ingra.
Ingra, yeah. Ingra. That's pretty close. So yeah. I'm not going to try and say it anyway. But there's like some mixed meter and things in here too. But it's pretty approachable for young four mallet players.
That piece is so ingrained in my head now.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's fun.
We had a drumline exercise in college that was based off of that four mallet solo, and then our teacher wrote, was it Dwayne wrote that, or did Tom McGillin write?
I think Wayne did it.
Yeah, anyway, it had a whole bunch. It was just a big paradiddle, double paradiddle exercise. Yeah. In 7/8. It's a cool one. So anyway, that would be a recommendation too. Got 10 pieces in it, that's worth buying for sure.
Yeah. So, well, do you have any more two mallet things?
No. And that, like I said, that's a four mallet book. But since you were talking about all in Jay-Z, I just figured I'd throw that in there. So why don't you take us away with the first four mallet solo that every player should play?
All right. So the first four mallet solo.
You could make a joke here or you could actually be serious.
I'm going to go ahead and be serious.
Okay.
C Refractions.
Right.
For solo marimba by Mitchell Peters.
That is correct.
Okay, I was, man.
Were you nervous?
I was nervous that you had a different answer in your head.
No.
And then I tried to think of a really hard piece and I couldn't come up with one to make a joke. Yeah,
you just haven't played any.
Yeah, so C Refractions is is a very, 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 very good educational piece for kids. What's the youngest kid you've had play this? I mean, probably just eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Generally eighth grade is where you've got kids playing this piece. But the thing about this piece, and then probably, you know, another one that we will mention soon after this, is that it's very focused on being as musical as possible, but also working on, you know, entry level four mallet technique. So it starts off with rolls and moving intervals in your right hand while you're rolling. And that's like the first 26 measures, I think. Yeah. And then it goes into just single, like independent lateral strokes or single independent strokes, with like eighth notes and then triplets and stuff like that. Then it goes to some block chords and all that kind of stuff. So it's just I don't want to say perfect, but it is one of those pieces that if you have a kid ready to play four mallets, this should be the piece that they should go for first. And I honestly haven't found, or at least used another piece as the first mallet piece yet.
Yeah, I agree. The hardest thing in there is you do have to reach an octave in your right hand from like a, you know, from E up to E between mallets three and four. So that's a little bit tough, but you're working up to it. If I remember, you're going from E and C to E and D to E and E. Kevin did succinctly really talked about that well. But it's just kind of that perfect snapshot of like all the abilities that you want a beginning four mallet player to have.
I'm looking through the piece right now. Actually, where does it have an octave?
It's in the beginning. In the rolling section.
Oh yeah, there it is. Measure eight.
Yeah. Nope, so an octave is like a higher, higher or lower version of the same note.
Okay. Yeah. There it is. Measure seven.
So yeah, C refractions. Mitchell Peters.
Yes.
He'll show up on our lists a lot. I assume he was really R.I.P. Mitchell Peters, by the way. But he was really instrumental.
Good one.
In like early percussion literature. So actually, the next one that I would say I think Kevin does too, but I definitely have like a progression of five or six four mallet marimba solos that I give my kids, and it's like you need to play through these in this order, and then you can kind of pick your own type of stuff, you know. But I have sort of added like a second one. So Mitchell Peters has a book called Fundamental Method for Mallets, and it's a collection. I don't know. I've got it right here, but it'll make a bunch of noise if I pick it up. But it's a collection of four mallet solos, and there's a couple good ones in there. Have you used that one at all?
No. I probably should.
Well, you were supposed to talk about it so that I had time to pick it up.
I use it. I actually practice out of it every single morning, just to make
That's
sure
good.
I'm keeping my, no, I actually haven't. I don't, show me the cover. Nope.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't even have it.
It's 11 early to late intermediate solos for the developing mallet player. So it's a pretty good one. Which one's the one that I like? Escapade is the one that I like. Moto Nuovo is okay. Like, but you know, they're all solid. It's all very similar stuff. It's just like working, you know, they're a little bit shorter. C refractions is only what, two pages.
Yeah. But it repeats,
but you repeats forever. Yeah. By the way, when we're talking about this, when you have a kid go take a solo to state solo and ensemble or to district solo or whatever, don't play repeats. Just like play it. Just say, hi, my name is Mleh and I will be playing Mleh. And I'm not taking any repeats because no one, like the judge already heard you play it one time. They don't need to
especially,
hear you play it
especially if it's specifically C refractions.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, now, if it's like a written out repeat, like a section from the beginning comes back, obviously
right,
play that.
Right.
But like the DSL code or like the, you know, all of that stuff where you're like literally going all the way back and playing. That's how C refractions
playing
is.
Another 2 minutes.
Yeah. Just of like, music okay. Again, yeah. Okay. So anyway, but yeah, Fundamental Solos for Mallets, Mitchell Peters also. That's a book that is worth grabbing because it's so, you know, has a handful of solos for that, you know, beginner to intermediate range. And you can you can get several students playing, you know, different solos. So
yeah,
I would recommend that one.
Yeah. I need to probably look into that one as well. The next recommendation that I have, is actually going to be like two books that kind of just go together, but it's the Sequential Studies for Four Mallet Marimba by Julia Gaines. It is basically a method book for four mallets, but inside of it, it has some just solos that are in it. And so you kind of, you go through a lesson in the book and then it'll have a solo based around that lesson. So like the first one is Marimba Minuet, and it's, you know, it's like a little 24 measure solo. So it could determine, if you have like a time limit on your solos, like if it needs to be at least a minute and a half or something like that, if you're doing your own little, you know, solo festival at your school, then that doesn't really matter. But these have, I think she's got about 10, eight. There's about eight solos in that first book. And again, this kind of goes off what we talked about last time is in the last episode. It's like you can find solos within method books. In my opinion, if it says solo in it, then I think it's good enough to play it as long as you like the solo. I'm not saying that if it says solo, you should play it, but a solo within a method book is good. And I like this because if you're going to have a kid play something out of this book, they can just do that. All the lesson stuff kind of leading up to it. It's got some warmups, and it's got like, if this solo has fifths in it, it's going to have some fifths exercises. And she also has a book too, that just kind of continues on her. I think it's called Level Two. And it's the same idea. It just goes on into further details, more lessons, and then the solos are going to be harder with more extended techniques and stuff like that. So, and again, you're getting 16 solos out of buying these two books. So again, those were the Sequential Studies for Four Mallet Marimba by Julia Gaines, and she's got two of them, and I think I got them on Tap Space.
Yeah, I don't know that collection either, so I'll have to, you know, this is like good for us both to kind of trade these back, because I'll have to check that one out too. And I think like collection, you know, it doesn't always have to be like a standalone solo, like you're saying. It like solos out of a method book are great, especially for younger kids, you know, that are just starting, because like you said, it gives them exercises to sort of build up, you know, to that eventual solo.
Right.
So that's, you know, that could be a first, probably something out of there could be a first solo for everybody too. But to me, playing C Refractions and then playing this next one that I'm going to say, they're just kind of like your rites of passage as a percussionist. And I don't know too many people that have gone through like paths similar to ours that don't end up playing like, you know, maybe three out of five or whatever of the solos that that I have on my list.
Well, and
for all my students.
Yeah, I agree. And before we go on to that, one thing about the Julia Gaines books is those solos are also kind of short enough. You could use those in class. Like if you're introducing four mallet stuff to your eighth graders or whatever grade you get to it, you can use little sections of that to kind of further on their skills before they end up doing something like kind of a full length established solo.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Well, you got to say C Refraction.
Here we go.
So yeah, the next one is this maybe one of the most popular marimba solos ever.
Yeah.
Is Yellow After the Rain, also by Mitchell Peters. And it is just like it's a step up from C Refractions in every way. There are more permutations, more patterns, more lateral stuff, more single independent. There's block chords. There's some rolling. There's like, you know, some inner mallet work, things like that. And then it's also just longer and, you know, in my opinion, just like better to listen to. Now, like both of those, I've heard them so many times. It's like every time I listen to it, it's like, okay, I get it. But it's like, you know, when you're listening to those really popular solos, like they're popular for a reason, because they teach really great things. And just because I've heard Yellow After the Rain 200 times doesn't mean that like that doesn't lessen this particular student's performance of it, you know, like they're still playing through it for the first time and learning those kind of like key techniques and getting that experience from learning that. So yeah, Yellow After the Rain, huge recommendation on that one. Every percussionist I think should play Yellow After the Rain.
Yeah, and educator, like if you're planning on being, you know, like if you're in college right now or you're upper high school and you want to be a percussion director, like these pieces are good for you to know how to play, mm-hmm. know how to teach, and you should have them as an educator. You should like have the copies of these so your students are going to use them. And yeah, like Remy said, we've, you know, every year I find myself making two or three copies of this piece to hand out. And
yeah,
it's just normal. And I like what you said about like, even though we have taught it so many times and heard it so many times, it is still that kid's first time doing it. So that's,
yeah.
And that's kind of the, like teaching percussion or band or whatever in general. It's like, even though we've taught kids how to count quarter notes, I've done it 11 years now and you've done it six, five, however many times.
Yeah. It's like, however long I've been a teacher.
Even though we've done it so many times, it's still the kid's first time. So you have to be on your game about it, but yes.
Yeah. For sure. So yeah, get that one. And all, you know, all of Mitchell Peters' stuff is really affordable. It's all kind of cool. If you've never seen it, it's all kind of like handwritten and then copied. A lot of it is, at least these early solos. Do you have Yellow After the Rain? I was going to see what year it was published.
Yeah. 1971.
Okay.
I looked just a second ago.
So yeah, I mean, there was obviously percussion music before then. You know, Ionization was written in like 1931, but that's not, you know, that's just a percussion ensemble. But then, and there, I think, you know, there were some concertos and things written before then, but this is one of the really big, four mallet solos out of the '70s that kind of started the medium. So it's kind of like a piece of history to learn too.
Definitely. All right. Well, my next one, I don't know if we're going to end up being kind of in the same order as all this, but one of the standards that I have for my kids for an option is Spanish Dance.
Yeah, that's next on my list.
By Kai Stensgaard with two A's in the name.
With two A's.
This piece, again, I mean, kind of like you said about Yellow After the Rain. Two A's, four mallets. Yeah. That'd be a good slogan for
that. Would
like, yeah,
yeah.
We should email guard, two A's, four mallets.
it's like, yeah, James Bond, James Bond.
Yeah. So Spanish Dance, again, this piece is, I don't know if it would be like that much harder than Yellow After the Rain, but I mean, it's hard. It has some harder things in it. Maybe just like it's got some 16th note runs in it, but so does Yellow After the Rain.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that section toward the end, like dun 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 dun, that kind of starts getting a little bit trickier.
Yeah, like the little solo section, the written out solo section is a little bit tough.
Yeah.
I think the little that's probably the trickiest thing in there. It also has like that. Those doubles, it's using like those 16th chun in your right hand. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, every time I teach this, it's like to get that second note to speak, you know, you always hear the first one, but it's really hard to get the second double to speak. So that's why it's important to practice your double strokes, guys.
Yeah. So, that would be kind of the next one to do. And I would say it's a little bit more like on the groovier side. Then Yellow After the Rain kind of just has a cool little groovier. I don't know. What would you say? Like the style.
Yeah, well, it's like a Latin feel. It has a little bit of like a, you know, bossa nova or something type feel. Like you could hear like some sort of samba or bossa nova groove underneath it. So.
Yeah. So that was Spanish Dance.
And I'm not a world percussionist, so please don't roast me.
Me neither.
Uh, Yeah. So my next one, if we're going in order of like difficulty,
we don't have to.
Okay. Well, the next one on my list is Ganaya by Matthias Schmidt. This is a this is probably one of my favorite solos that I played, in the what I'm just going to call now, for, you know, refer to henceforth as the progression. This is probably one of my favorite ones that I played in the progression, just because it's super groovy. And it really helps you with like polyrhythms and independence of your hands, because you're constantly doing different things. It's compound meter the whole time, right? It's like 12/8 the whole time. So it's like, you know, one hand is playing one li two, li three, li four, and the other hand is playing one la, two la, three la. So you're getting like this sort of Swiss Army triplet flam tap type feel for a lot of it, where your hands are playing different rhythms. Sometimes your left hand is playing like a little melody on its own while your right hand is doing like another ostinato. So it's really cool. But then it also just has like, you know, if you want to call it like the chorus or whatever you would call it, the main theme, is just kind of in this cool, C minor seven feel. And it's a lot of fun to play and kids really like it. And it's also probably, it stands out from these other ones. It's the first one that's like, you know, like 6 minutes, 5 or 6 minutes long.
Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of one of your first like longer solos to play. Everything you said, I don't really have much else to say other than what you said. But yeah, this is kind of next on my list as well. I like this one because I had a kid play it, and then like he played it for the percussion ensemble piece, and I played djembe with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one of those cool pieces to add.
And I should
like
say it's
it.
So Matthias Schmidt, I think there's a story with it where like, he was in Africa and he was like doing some studying on like African rhythms and African folk music, and then kind of like came away with this. I can't remember if he had like traveled there and did it or if he was just inspired by African music. But it is like a, you know, a kind of an homage to like to African percussion music.
Said he had recently returned from a lengthy stay in Ghana.
Ghana, there you go.
So it's Afro-Brazilian conga and dance seminar.
Yeah, it's a really cool piece.
Yeah.
And that's Matthias Schmidt. And Ganaya is hard to spell. It's like, I always get it wrong. Ghanaia. Lots of vowels.
Yeah, that's a great piece. Moving on from there, I think I'm going to let you say what I think you're going to say next, and we'll see how much I know your brain. The next one I've got is Rain Dance.
Okay.
Was that on your list?
It wasn't.
Yes. It's by Alice Gomez and Marilyn Rife. If you don't know this piece, it's again, good. One of those, I feel like a lot of this music is kind of that like African style. Obviously.
Well, so much of marimba is, or not so much marimba. The marimba is from Africa.
Yeah. This one again is kind of one of those, you're doing a lot of melodic stuff with your right hand, ostinato stuff with your left, but it's that da dun dun bum ba dum bum bum ba dum bum 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 bum. Kind of a cool piece. Do you know what piece I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know Rain Dance. I've never played it.
I don't think I had played it. Like I didn't do it in college or anything, but got back into it when I think one of my kids like came across it. I hadn't mentioned it to them. But it's a good one. It has kind of starts off in 2/4 and then jumps into doing kind of the same material again, but in 6/8. So just kind of a double challenge there and kind of making you feel the same piece in a different feel, and portraying that to the audience. And then it's got like a little soft, ballad roll section toward the middle. But yeah, it's a good piece to play too. A good option to have around. That was Rain Dance.
Yeah, I need to. I don't actually own that one, but I should. Yeah, but I've heard it before. But that's not one that I pass out to students, so I should add that to my list for certainly. I lost my list here. Oh, okay. So next one, this is probably a step back as far as like difficulty. And this is a newer, you know, all the ones that we've been talking about so far are like kind of old, like oldie but a goodie. They're kind of like classics.
Yeah.
You know, this next one is a little bit newer. I want to say it's maybe like 2014 or something like that. 2015. It's Ghost Garden by Adam Hopper. Do you have 15, the year on that one?
15.
15. Okay. So, and you know, it definitely sounds more modern, as like percussion ensemble and percussion literature has, gotten into the modern era. Like there's definitely kind of like a sound that a modern marimba solo has that these older ones we were talking about, just, you know, they're just different. Not that anyone is better. But Ghost Garden is a really good one. It's an earworm for sure, that like that little thing. And it's really just based, I think it's just like, you know, a binary piece. There's like two sections. And it just kind of has like a cool sound that I think a lot of students really like. It's a little bit like ambient. I think I would describe it as ambient or maybe a little bit minimal. With some, you know, basic left hand fifth action going on, fifth and fourths, while your right hand is playing a little bit of a melody. There's a little bit of a chorale in the middle of it, which is nice to, you get some roll experience. So yeah, that's a really fun one. I usually have, maybe not every single year, but it seems like at least every other year I've got a student playing that one. I just had one of my students play it last year and she played it really, really well. So yeah,
nice.
That's Ghost Garden, Adam Hopper. And I believe that is a Tap Space.
C. Allen.
Sorry, C. Allen. Never going to sponsor us.
Yeah. And I've just got a couple more. This is going to be obviously more new. Again, this is 2014. This is Ivan Trevino's Strive to Be Happy. I bet you have that on your list.
I do, yeah. Well, never mind.
Go ahead. Well, what were you going to say?
Is there a tilde over the N? Trevino?
I don't know.
Trevino? I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's look at you. You talk about Strive to Be okay. Happy. I'll look up his website.
Yeah, so Ivan's obviously proved himself a fantastic percussion composer over the last... wow, almost decade now. I mean, basically decade now, which is probably crazy for him to hear. Not that he's going to hear this, but anyway, Strive to Be Happy is great. Very kind of chorale-ish sounding with just how it kind of starts. It's got a 16th note kind of drive to it, and you're just kind of moving your right hand around. But not much to say. It's got some good... permutation stuff in it as well, kind of going into the second section, and it's driving like the whole piece, which is a good challenge. It keeps your kids, like, if they want like a driving, fast moving, lots of notes solo, then this is a good option for them. It's got some cool like 15/8 measures in it and stuff like that, but yeah, it just moves around a lot and has a really cool sound to it. Very like reflective and not like crazy aggressive, just a really cool mellow vibe to it. I've actually only had one kid, I think one or two, play this in the last few, like 10 years, honestly. So I need to get more kids playing that one, but that was Strive to Be Happy. Did you figure out how to say his last name?
I mean, I don't know. Like on his website, there's no tilde. I think it's so just Trevino.
Trevino. Okay. My apologies.
I'm sure, like you said, I'm sure he's not going to hear this. Not yet. We're coming for you. anyway, yeah, that's a great piece. I love that piece. Kind of the same thing. I've had a handful of kids play it. So that one's a really cool one. That one was really big, like maybe towards the end of college or beginning of grad school. I remember a lot of undergrads like snatching that one up and playing it on their... I heard it on lots of junior and senior recitals. So
yes,
that's a cool one. Let's see here. Let's talk about some chorales. So, three chorales for marimba by Evelyn Glennie. Evelyn Glennie is a fantastic percussion, you know, player and just like person. She has like this really cool collection of like percussion. Yeah, I don't know. Do you follow her on Instagram or anything?
Yeah.
She has like all that huge, basically like percussion museum at her house of all these crazy instruments. And anyway, but three chorales for marimba. It's obviously three chorales and it's, so you're rolling the whole time, which is, you know, that's definitely a skill set that you want to work on. And a lot of these solos that we've mentioned today, they have maybe small sections that are chorales or they have some rolls in them or whatever, but these are, you know, like a little bit Bach sounding, like they're, you know, they're a little bit more like Baroque or classical sound or romantic sounding. Chorale's a little bit more, yeah, like romantic is a good word, like very tension building and then finally resolve. And it's just a challenge to like make a non-sustaining instrument sustain. And so, yeah, it's really good. I like Light and Darkness. It's probably my favorite one from that collection. I played that on a recital and, or not a recital, but I played that on a jury in college, maybe like my sophomore year. But it's, you know, it's not that it wouldn't be attainable by a high school student, especially if they are going through like, you know, like I think I mentioned in the last episode, my formal development was delayed by like 4 years because I didn't have a percussion director for several years, you know, until like halfway or three quarters of the way through high school. So I didn't have anybody starting me on formal in eighth grade like our students do. So anyway, that's three chorales for marimba by Evelyn Glennie. And she's deaf. She is a deaf percussionist.
Yeah, I think I got to see her at PASIC.
Yeah, did you go to that concert at PASIC?
Yeah, I think we.
She played the Alufone concerto. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Great performer. And she still performs today with like, she lives in the UK, but she like performs all over the world all the time.
Yeah. She's very talented. I mean, this is basically my last one that I had down for just kind of our restricted list for now. And it was Ivan Trevino's Songbook Number 1. And it's got a collection of five solos in it. So Anthem, Dance, Holiday, Little Things, and Vessels. And I've had a lot of kids play Anthem over the last few years. Couple that are going to play Dance, I believe. So Anthem's pretty cool. Kind of different than Strive to Be Happy. Obviously kind of has a little more of a groove to it. Just bum-be-dum, bum-be-dum, bum-be-dum. Bum, bum, stuff like that. And then some cool permutation things where you're kind of playing your outside mallets at the same time. Ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da, stuff like that. So just, again, just more extended techniques, stuff like that, block chord things. I think it's got some 4/3 stuff going on toward the middle section. But yeah, good book to have too. I haven't had many kids play some of the other ones toward the end of the book. Like Holiday or maybe Dance, but Anthem is the most popular one out of that book that we have, but that's still a good book to have. Songbook Volume 1 from Ivan Trevino.
Yeah, I have that collection too. I haven't had anyone play out of it yet, at least student wise. But Anthem is the one that I know probably the best out of there. Ivan Trevino is writing great stuff. And we're talking about kind of like that modern sound. Like, I think a lot of that has been driven by him. Like, Ivan Trevino has kind of pushed not only solo percussion, but percussion ensemble kind of into like the popular music sector. And he's written, did you hear Watercolor Sun? Have you heard that piece yet?
That came out
like this last year. That I've got like high school kids bothering me that they want to play that. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe we'll see. It's hard. Anyways, Yeah. So shout out to Ivan Trevino. I do have a couple more. I don't know if we just want to do like rapid fire. I know we are getting close. So what's on here? Intermediate Masterworks for Marimba. This is a collection of a bunch of marimba solos. I think like Nancy Zeltzman and people like that. There's one in there called Dust Devil by Stephen Stuckey that is pretty cool. So check that one out. I think that might be on, I feel like that might be like an Allstate book, maybe in Texas. I don't know though. I might be just making that up. Anyway, that's Intermediate Masterworks for Marimba. And I think there's two books for that. And that's got like 20 or 30 solos. Impressions on Wood by Julie Davila.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good one that has collection. It's a collection as well. Really good marimba solos in that. So check that one out. And then actually, I'm going to say it just because I really like it. It's probably too advanced for, or it might be on that advanced side for high school. But Moon Chasers by Mark Ford. Not too old. It's only a few years old. And it's just a really cool piece. And I'm having a student play that for her college audition. I just gave that to her this past week. And I'm going to learn that along with her. So anyways, it's a cool piece. One that I wanted to make sure that we mentioned, is actually one that our friend Adam Bruce, wrote. It's a collection of 8 solos for marimba, and it's called 8 Solos for Marimba.
I love the title.
Me too. Super, super clear. You know exactly what you're going to get. It's not like those ones that say like pancakes and chicken, and then it's like a marimba solo. You're like, what? Yeah. Anyway, so, and it's short four mallet solos for the beginning, for the developing percussionist, for your beginning percussionist.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Short four mallet solos for the developing percussionist. And Adam was/is a percussion director or a percussion educator. He's at Union Public Schools for a long time. And now works with Palin Music as one of their managers and kind of helps work with, you know, like programs everywhere. But anyways, it's a really great book, and it was, what's the word?
Commissioned.
Commissioned. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was commissioned by OMEA, which is, you know, Oklahoma. Is it OMEA or is it OKMEA?
It is now OKMEA.
Officially OKMEA. Yeah. All right.
Yep.
So anyway, commissioned by OKMEA about two years ago, year and a half ago.
This is the second year that we've used it. Yeah.
So about 2 years ago, to replace the four mallet solos that we were using, which was out of a Nancy Zeltzman book, which was transcribed guitar solos, which did not lie very well on the keyboard, and were just awkward. And anyway, so he wrote, did he write 6 for us? And then did he write like 2 more and then make it into this collection?
I think so. Something like that. Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, they're really great, and they all kind of work on, you know, like a little bit of everything, because they are supposed to be a very concise way to be able to tell if a kid can play four mallets effectively, you know, at a high level. So they have a little bit of everything. There's some cool like odd meter in some of them, and just some kind of like just some grooves with some octaves over, like the one that was in last year had like this kind of cool polyrhythm thing going on between the left hand and the right hand, and your right hand is playing like a melody in octaves. So really good stuff. So shout out to Adam Bruce, listener of the show. How you doing?
Yeah.
Adam?
Yeah. Super thankful that we got him to write these, because they flow in the hands so much better for our Allstate audition kids. They're musical. They're not crazy long. They're approachable even by a teacher, because in the past we would look at those Nancy Zeltzman etudes to teach them, and it's like, okay, well, give me a couple weeks to learn this before I try to help you, you know?
Yeah.
So Adam did exactly what we wanted, was like, or not what we wanted, but what the state needed, was really, really clear, but musically written etudes that were approachable and worth learning because they sound good when you play them. And it's just great etudes. So that book is also great for just if your kid, even if they're not auditioning for Allstate, grab that book and use it for solos. You can actually get that book. I don't know if it's for sale in other bookstores, but if you go to abrucemusic.com, then you can grab that book straight from his website.
Yeah. I'm sure Palin has it probably too, if any of you guys use Palin, but it's definitely one that I would have in your arsenal for your kids. There's lots of others, guys. It's like we would be here literally all the rest of the time until Christmas break if we just named off every good marimba solo, you know. But this is kind of just like our quick list of, like, if someone asks us our top, you know, 15 marimba solos, this might be them. But that changes over time too. You got anything else to say about four mallet marimba solos?
No, I don't think so. I mean, just, I think we gave a pretty good list. Obviously, if you're an educator, do your own research, and there's plenty of other pieces out there, I'm sure, that we are even unaware of, you know, that probably just premiered at PASIC or whatever. So, we would love also, I mean, if you guys have any really good recommendations, feel free to email them to us.
Yeah,
so we can check them out, because there's always new music coming out. But these are just the standards that we have just accumulated over the last decade or so. So, well, maybe we should you know, rapid fire some timpani stuff.
Yeah, let's do some timpani real quick.
Wrap up this solo episode.
Yes,
I'll let you do the popular one.
Okay. See. Okay, sorry. I had navigated away from my list again. So Sonata for Timpani, John Beck. I know that's one that you had on your list. And honestly, I'll be honest. if I'm being honest, I really don't have a whole lot of solo. I said it even again. I really don't have a whole lot of timpani solo stuff. You know, it's just, I think we talked about it on the middle school episode. It's like, there's just not a lot of kids that want to play timpani solos. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Like, but you just spend so little time on timpani as a percussionist, you know, in a band program. Like, we've talked about that before also. You get so much, you know, like rudimental training, and then you spend a lot of time on keyboard, and then it's like I don't remember what you were saying maybe like two episodes ago, like, if you get to this, like at the end of the Wessels book, you had made that joke on, I think it was on the middle school.
We were talking about last episode. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, if you happen to get to this, and like, that's how I feel every year. So especially with those middle school kids. So
I think what you mean really is like, when a kid plays a marimba solo, there's just so much more activity that it makes the brain do. If that makes sense. Like there's so many options of things you're going to hit. So you better hit the right one. And like, not saying you can't be like, we're not bashing timpani at all, but to say that you can be musical on the timpani, but it just seems like the composers who have written solos,
that's a good way of
putting are like,
it.
Have really thought they've figured out like marimba is kind of the soloistic instrument of the percussion family. And that's where they've spent a lot of their time.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going, is like, there's not a lot of students that want to do timpani solos because it's just like not the premier solo instrument, you know? And but anyway, Sonata for Timpani by John Beck. It's three movements, really cool. When a high schooler comes to me, like a good high schooler comes to me and wants to do a timpani solo, or they need something for their college audition, it's like movement three of Sonata for Timpani by John Beck. It's just really cool. It has like some glissandi stuff in it, and it's just a really fun piece to play.
Yeah.
So that one's always in there. I haven't even ever had anyone play the first two movements.
I had a kid who played movement three when he was a junior, and then he knew that it was like a collection of three pieces. So uh-huh. he wanted to play the second one.
Gotcha.
Which in that second one, on the second page, you get to like, you put your mallets down and you play,
that's right.
you play with your hands.
Yeah.
There's like some clapping and some cool, like 30 second note stuff. You play with your hands, which that's, it's always cool. Especially like if your younger players get to like watch.
Yeah. Get, yeah.
It and it makes timpani look cool. Which is cool.
Yeah. And like timpani is one of my favorite instruments to play. Like yeah. I love playing timpani. But I think because I don't know, the people that end up writing for timpani, like, you know, the Elliot Carter book is on my list, but like very few kids are going to be able to play from that book.
Yeah.
A lot of the literature is for like, you know, college students, and above, but, it's just, I think the Beck Sonata has a lot of like extended techniques, like Kevin's talking about playing with your hands. In the third movement, there's one where you are playing like a chun, 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 chun in the middle of the drum so that you're really not getting any pitch anymore. And then your right hand is playing like a melody on the top three drums. There's just like some really cool things like that, that make it not seem like, you know, 90% of the time when kids are playing timpani, they're rolling on, like they're going from an F to a B flat. Like that's basically, yeah. you know, they're going sol do. So anyway, what do you got for timpani?
So musical studies for the intermediate timpanist. I think I mentioned this in the middle school one, because it's uh-huh. again, it's like a method book.
That's Whaley, right?
Yeah. Garwood.
Old Garwood.
And I think like we mentioned this last time too, I think this used to be used as a,
an all district
as like an
book.
All region. Yeah. Yeah. A district contest, book. So it's got some good stuff in it. And it definitely looks like a method book, but it doesn't, but there's, it's just a bunch of solos, and it's got some really good stuff in it and some stuff I probably wouldn't use for a solo. But, again, I mean, if you've got a kid wanting to play a timpani solo and maybe they don't want to play the Beck sonata, then find something out of here. This is a pretty good option. I'm trying to find if it has like pitch changes. I don't really remember if it has. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. I can't remember, but I think, I would say if your kid's going to do a timpani solo, it should probably have like a pitch change in it. I don't know if that movement three does.
It has all those glisses
yeah,
where
right.
you're
going, so you
like,
to
da,
come
da,
back
da,
down.
Then you got to go back down to that low E.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's a good book to have. Garwood Whaley, Musical Studies for the Intermediate Timpanist.
Yeah. Do you want to hear that gliss again?
Yep.
Bow, da, 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 da. Perfect. Next one is Vic Firth. If some of you guys didn't know, Vic Firth was an actual person. Rest in peace. The solo timpanist, though, it is, I think it's like 26 pieces in there. And that's actually a really good book, too. I know we recommended his snare drum book, The Solo Snare Drummer. That is one of the great snare drum etude books to play out of. And The Solo Timpanist is nothing to scoff at either. There's a lot of cool things in there. There's also some that are like, you know, okay, you play this, but it might not be something like, it's not something that you want to like play on a recital. But there are some definite recital or solo and ensemble pieces in this book for sure. So check out Vic Firth's The Solo Timpanist.
Yeah, our district actually moved to, we chose two solos out of this one to use for our junior high stuff.
Oh, nice.
So we have
two of the easier ones.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you know,
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
That's supposed to mean that most of that book would be too hard for seventh and eighth graders.
Yeah.
Or eighth and ninth graders.
Yeah. Yeah. The last one I had is on probably on your list too. And this is not too many of these you're going to use out of this book, but the De La Clue's timpani book, could be an option. Especially if you have that kind of kid that wants, like, is very interested in Allstate, very focused on those types of auditions, and they want to go to college for music. This is the book you kind of want to start getting them familiar with, because I had not heard about this book until college. And I mean, it's a scary looking book.
Wait,
to be honest. What?
You did All District and All State and all that stuff in high school.
Oh, right. I guess I probably you wasn't just didn't... aware. I wasn't like, this is from a really hard college book.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I guess you're right. I did not think about that aspect. But
you had played it like copies that your teacher had given you, but you didn't know like this is from a Daedalus book. Okay, understood. Right.
But yeah, it's got, I would say the first, you know, five, six-ish of them are pretty good to use as solos if you want to really challenge a kid. It obviously has multiple pitch changes per piece, per etude. But yeah, high level stuff. You got anything on the Daedalus book?
Just that it's too hard for 90% of high school kids.
Yeah.
I mean, like it really is, guys. It's like a college level book. And there's been like, we gained some ground in Oklahoma. We use this as our all district and, you know, all state etude book. And we made some ground like this last year or two where there was a pretty large group of percussion educators that was like, guys, these are way too hard. And we tried to change books and that didn't happen, but we ended up sort of compromising and like cutting the etudes down, like making, you don't have to learn the entire thing when they send the music out for that year. The timpani etude is already cut down, but it's just hard. I mean, it's like asking them to play at the same level on that they are on snare drum and marimba, but on an instrument that they've probably only played four times, you know, as like by the time they get into high school. So it's just difficult and too difficult in my opinion. I know there are people that probably think that it just depends on how you look at the process. We can have another episode where we talk about what we think all state should be and all that stuff. Anyway.
So, but if you do have a kid that is very, very like focuses and practices incredibly hard.
Yeah. Then they can do it.
Then they definitely would be attainable. Like some of those etudes are attainable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we just had all state and I had five kids that were auditioning for that. And you know, three of them really like played the snot out of that etude.
And it wasn't one of our kids played the snot, both of our kids.
Yeah. So anyway,
but still, real hard.
I've got a couple more or maybe one more. I did have the Daedalus book on there. Modern Method for Timpani, Saul Goodman. I don't know if you've played that. Shout out to Bob Odenkirk and Better Call Saul, Saul Goodman. But yeah, that's the guy's name. It is a method book, but it has a bunch of etudes in there that you could use as solos. It also has like some orchestral excerpts, timpani excerpts, which are kind of cool to learn. And like, you know, if you have a kid that wants to study timpani privately, then you can say like, oh, hey, we're going to work on, you know, whatever this like, you know, Beethoven 5 excerpt or something. And then I had the Elliot Carter 8 pieces for timpani, but I've never
but not
seen
really.
A high school. Yeah, but not really like that. I just put that on there because I felt guilty for not having more, you know, timpani literature to talk about.
I did have a kid who would come to our solo and ensemble contest that we hold every year. And every year, I think he played one of these pieces, like not a kid from my school.
Like the same piece or he played a different one every year?
A different one. And
he probably just took lessons from
a pretty good job. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think again, all these things, like you got to know your kids and know what you can select for them. But yeah, I had that on my list, but like, it was like, I had the boldness, it was like real. Never mind. I was trying to make a joke. I was going to say it wasn't really on the list.
Yeah. Well, do you have anything else on timpani?
I do not.
Okay. Well, we need to wrap this one up, guys, because we're pushing an hour. We were going to maybe try and do like a little bit of like drum set or multi percussion, or like, you know, we could talk about quad solos. I think we should probably save that for like an episode. Like, I don't know, email us and let us know if you would be interested on like drum set literature, multi-percussion literature. Cause you do have like, especially for college auditions, you know, kids can get more scholarships if they can demonstrate that they are proficient on drum set or multi-percussion and things like that.
Yeah, I had a kid play a really cool drum set solo last year.
Yeah, save it for the episode.
Sorry.
Obviously, you know, if you have kids that are wanting to try out for to play quads on drumline, wanting to get better at that in the off season, there are books, really great books with quad solos. I wanted to read an email that we got, and I haven't responded to this one yet, but I will. Is that all right if I read it?
Yeah.
All right, cool. This is from AJ. Subject line, I love you guys, in all caps.
All bold, no explanation. No explanation.
no explanation needed. It says, you guys are my favorite podcast and you inspire me every day to become a better percussionist. You were the top podcast of my Spotify Wrapped. That's pretty cool. I wish you uploaded more, but I understand it gets busy being a percussion director. Yes, it does, AJ. It gets incredibly busy. Thank you for inspiring me and entertaining me. You guys are so funny too. So thank you, AJ, for that email. That's really awesome. We'll respond to that here when we get a second, but we were talking about that email. I saw it go off and I looked at it a couple days ago, and then Kevin didn't know about it because it's just like one email account that we share, you know, the Percussion Perspective Pod
at gmail.com.
But it's like, you know, I read it, so the notification went away for him, and it was just like, yeah, that's like, that's really cool. Things like that. Especially this time of year when teachers are like super burnt out on what we've been doing. And it's just really awesome to hear from somebody, positively like that. And to know that, like, even if 35 people have only 35 people have listened to our podcast, that like we're helping someone, and that's like the goal of this. So
yeah sometimes I just assume that like no one hears anything we ever say to each other.
Yeah, for real,
like no one's actually listening. But then yeah, to get emails like that, AJ, that's pretty awesome. Definitely thank you for taking the time to emailing us and thanking us and that you listened to us and that we were number one on your Spotify Wrap. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We love hearing from people.
Yeah. We love you too, AJ. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. We love you.
Yeah. You have to say it like that. All right, man. Well, that's all I've got and we need to get out of here. So, have a happy new year, and I'm in Italy. Woo.
Oh my gosh. How is Italy right now?
I have been working on Duolingo little bit, and I can say that I will be successfully ordering un caffè and un cornetto. Cornetto is croissant.
Oh, a coffee.
It's like Duolingo.
I
don't know how to ask where the bathroom is, but I know how to get a coffee and a croissant. So that's how Duolingo starts you out.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Bye.